This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
This is AmTower Off-Center, sponsored by General Dynamics Information Technology. Every week, author, speaker, consultant Mark AmTower gives you his take on what's going on in the world of government contracting. AmTower Off-Center with your host, Mark AmTower.
Welcome to AmTower Off-Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Mark AmTower. My guests today are Lee Fredrickson, Managing Partner of Hinge Marketing, and Chuck Brooks, Vice President of Xerox. Gentlemen, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Let's start off with a little bit of background. Chuck, let's start with you, please.
Sure. I'm currently Vice President, a client executive for Homeland Security at Xerox Federal Solutions. My background includes actually working at the original DHS, helping start it up and serving as the first legislative director of the Science and Technology Directorate at DHS. I also spent 7 years on the Hill working for the late Senator Arlen Specter. And I taught for 2 years at Johns Hopkins University as adjunct faculty, Homeland Security in Congress.
Okay.
And I'm originally from Chicago.
The Science and Technology Directorate is kind of where DHS's DARPA sits, right?
Yes. They call it HSARPA, but it's okay. Yes, it's the same thing.
Okay. Lee?
Well, thank you. My background is I'm trained as a behavioral psychologist and was at Virginia Tech, but for the second part of my career, I've been in business, primarily focusing on marketing, and our current firm is called Hinge Marketing, and we work exclusively with professional services organizations like accounting firms, management consultants, technology companies, helping them with branding issues, getting their positioning and branding right, with marketing issues, generating leads and opportunities, and with something we call Visible Expert, helping increase the profile of key executives in a company.
Okay. Now, for those of you who've listened to the show before, this shouldn't come as a major surprise, but the focus of today's show is LinkedIn. The reason these gentlemen are here is Chuck Brooks is one of the most visible people in the government market on LinkedIn, and Lee Fredrickson does, besides advising a number of companies on leveraging various social media and content tools, he produces some of the best research I've ever seen on leveraging any tool out there, including LinkedIn, to make yourself visible if indeed you are an expert. So let's start here. When did you join LinkedIn, and when did you figure out that it was actually useful?
Well, I joined back actually in 2006. This is when I was with the Department of Homeland Security. And I used it primarily at the time to find out the backgrounds of the people I was meeting with. We had a lot of liaison in my office with the corporate world, with universities, and with legislators. And I found out almost immediately that their profiles and where they went to school and who they knew is invaluable.
Okay.
I think I started about the same time, about 2006 or 7, but I was absolutely clueless at what to do to make it of at all use. So it was kind of like there in name sort of only. But for the first several years, it was like, what is this all about and why do I care?
Yeah, yeah.
I know I'm supposed to be on here, but now what?
Exactly, now what? I joined in 2004 and was dormant. Were relatively dormant for 3 years, and a couple of books turned me around in 07 on the social media, and one on LinkedIn in particular. But again, it's a quandary for a lot of people, and even now, a lot of people are there and they don't know how to use it. So I wanted to migrate to when did you start and why did you start actively using it? Chuck, I mean, you write a lot of articles. Lee, you do a lot of research and you publish a lot of, and this is important for you guys to listen to out there. Lee puts out a lot of information for free. That's the F word, right? And it's good stuff. stuff. So hingemarketing.com is a repository of just a ton of stuff that can help your, and it does, you don't have to be a professional services firm to benefit from this. So go there, look at this stuff, download it, read it, absorb it, and use it. But let's go back to, when did you start actively using it, and why did you start actively using it? Chuck, give it a shot.
Yeah, I mean, first, you know, it was for finding profiles of people I'm meeting with, but then I found out it's great for communicating. And I was able to use it primarily in my job at first at DHS to talk about some of the things we're doing at the agency and sort of target some of the people I wanted to reach. And later on, as I kept gaining more and more followers and linking to more and more people, I found it's also a great platform to sort of communicate my own writing, my own interests and my own ideas. And the value of it was that it could be repetitive, it could be targeted. You could find various groups, you could target people. And it just basically changed the whole idea of utilizing media to build up brand and personal reputation.
Okay.
Well, my journey was one more that was based on the research. It's when I started to see the research results come in about the impact that LinkedIn could have. I never used it. You know, most people think about it as a way to find a job. That's the one thing I've never done with LinkedIn. To use it as a recruiting tool. What we have done instead is found out that, as Chuck was saying, the brand building and the generating business opportunities, plus checking out people that you're dealing with in one way or another, it just, the more I started to use it, the more I got to see that it is becoming kind of the de facto, this is how you check people out.
Yeah, and for HR people, all the recruiters that I talk to and some that I advise on using LinkedIn say that it, for employers, it is the number one or number two vetting vehicle for anybody anymore in business. So
absolutely.
If your profile isn't up to snuff, boys and girls, pay careful attention. If it looks like a tombstone, you're not getting the gig.
That's right.
So what kinds of things are you, Chuck, I know some of the stuff that you share, but I'm not sure I know all of the stuff you share. Again, you write a lot. You write for Government Security Magazine. You've written for Lord knows how many different publications.
Yeah, I've written a Forbes, Huffington Post, Federal News, Regular The Hill. Yeah, like you say, a variety of different posts. And every day I seem to get more because of LinkedIn. Editors reaching out who read the articles and say, would you write something for me? And actually, the 3 or 4 Walmart blogs I've added to that list, as well as not-for-profit organizations who want you to participate in the organizations and help them, and people looking at, you know, for mentors. It's really been sort of a blossoming area for me, where a lot of opportunities have come through speaking opportunities at conferences, mm-hmm. associations. Every week I get some invitation. A lot of them from Europe, a lot of them from America. And the topics I usually speak about and talk about are technology, Department of Homeland Security, cybersecurity especially, which is one of my areas of expertise, and, of course, government.
Mm-hmm.
And lately also how to use social media because it's been so effective.
Yeah, you were basically a communications person at DHS, is that right?
I was a government relations person, which okay. It entailed actually, since I was one of the first few people, when I went there, it was just a warehouse building, and we had only some Secret Service and some Coast Guard people to set it up. So I set up the legislative shop, and legislation is all communications. It's communicating with the Hill.
Right.
It's taking your people in the agencies and teaching them how to communicate to the Hill and bringing them along. And working with different staffers, so it was definitely communications.
Okay,
but not so much marketing at the time.
Right, not. But there was a primarily intra-government communications, or
intra-government, and also with the public. I mean, the private sector. A lot of corporations. What Congress does is they have, you know, they have constituencies, and they build lots of products and have lots of services, and they want those services and products to be looked at, you know, by the right people. And so we had a lot of communication with the private sector, corporate world too.
Okay. Were you ever part of either the Federal Communicators Network or National Association of Government Communicators?
I never was. Okay. I probably should have been, but
just curious, because I know both of them. FCN was on the show a few months back, and hopefully NAGC will be here soon.
Great.
Lee, what compare this. We'll start this in this segment and carry it over. But compare this with the other social networks. How does LinkedIn rank? Because you do a lot of research in this area. How does LinkedIn rank against you name the competition?
Well, when it comes to business to business, LinkedIn is the game largely. The statistics show that when people are checking you out on social media, which is it's about 60% of people will use social media to check out a provider. To put that in perspective, only 80% of people look at websites, and only 55% of people actually talk to the references you provide them, which is pretty frightening. So more people are checking you out on LinkedIn than talk to your references, as you spend so much time cultivating and trying to get right, and then boom, it's just easier and faster. So that's about 70% of people that use any social network to check you out will use LinkedIn. So that is the big elephant at the watering hole.
That is the huge element. We're going to break right now. You're listening to AmTower Off Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. We will be back with Lee and Chuck after these messages. Welcome back to AmTower Off Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. My guests today are Lee Fredrickson, managing partner of Hinge Marketing. You can find him at hingemarketing.com. You can also find him on LinkedIn. And Chuck Brooks, vice president at Xerox. I'm assuming Xerox.com. Where's the federal website?
Yeah, www.xerox.com.
There you go. And just look for the federal. The Xerox does a lot of business with government, so just... a lot of business with government. So take a peek. Lee, run down the list of other social media that can be used for business, and you know, both of you just comment on if you use it and how.
Okay. So first is LinkedIn, as I said earlier, by far about 70% share of the social media used for business. The second one, I would say right behind it in terms of, but quite a ways behind, more like a 15-20% usage would be Twitter. And Twitter is sort of like a the other hand clapping with LinkedIn, where LinkedIn allows you to go in depth and discuss something fully. Twitter allows you to get a thought or an idea out there more broadly. You're not going to have the in-depth discussion. So that's sort of number two when you look at it. Is that your experience?
Yeah, I agree with that ranking. I think LinkedIn is by far the most useful social medium. And I use Twitter for my own, as almost a resource to find out news items and useful things for what I write. It's so continual and more difficult to sort of get a grasp on something and take it to a different level like LinkedIn. But they're both useful. And Facebook is more of a social medium for me, and I don't really use it for business.
The Facebook one is interesting because you have two different approaches to Facebook. For most firms, Facebook is going to do a better job of communicating the culture and help you in the recruiting, kind of behind the scenes feel about this is what it's like to work here and so forth. But for some who have certain audiences, they're going to find their audience on Facebook. That's primarily the not-for-profit. If not-for-profits are your audience, or educational institutions tend to be more likely on Facebook. And, of course, all your consumer-facing thing. But for business-to-business, not so much. More recruiting angle.
Okay.
Then I would say after that, you're sort of at a toss-up with two other contenders. One is Google Plus, and Google is throwing all its muscle behind growing that. And Google Plus is primarily, you see a lot of marketing people there in Google Plus, and it's primarily because it has the reputation of helping your search engine optimization. So you almost have to be there to be found in other ways. So Google definitely has its thumb on the scale with that one. But,
right.
So you won't find as much activity, but it's kind of a place you have to be. And then, of course, the one that people don't think about so much as a social network is all of the online video. And that's that, I think, is where you're going to see the growth. I think the second largest search engine in the world is YouTube.
Yeah. But can you communicate there? I mean, you can push a message.
That's about
talk.
What you can do.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I mean, I know my son, who is 17, spends a fair amount of time on YouTube. He has abandoned, by the way, Facebook. When he wants to get together with his friends, they will use Facebook. But that's the only time they go there anymore. So whose house are we going to get together to Friday night, you know, play our fantasy games or whatever?
Great place for pictures of the grandkids.
Yeah. Well, I do, you know, number one, I don't have them yet. I'm old enough to have them, but my children aren't. But
another whole story there.
Well, I didn't get married till I was almost 42, so some things I definitely only want to do once.
That's good planning.
Personal preference. But I don't share on Facebook at all. I don't trust Facebook at all. I don't think it's secure at all. So I have I do post links to my articles there. I do post links on Google Plus, but 95%+ of my activity is LinkedIn and then Twitter, like you said, Lee, Google and Facebook are truly afterthoughts.
Yeah. I think so. For most business applications, I think that's what we find.
Okay.
Yeah. I think also LinkedIn is so much functionally easier to use than Facebook, too. There's just too much going on Facebook. And LinkedIn, once you know the system and once you know what your priorities are, it's much easier to target and do what you want to do in a shorter period of time.
Okay. What was the name of the report that you did that had the rankings?
We did a report that was, called How People Check You Out. And it was aimed at people who checking out professional services firms and how they go about checking you out. And it's that sort of focused on that part of the buying process between they've heard of you and they've decided that they want to ask you for a proposal.
Okay. And again, you can find that downloadable at hingemarketing.com. Let's talk about, one of my pet peeves on LinkedIn is going to a profile and finding either no information or very limited information or stuff that is just massive data dump, stream of consciousness, one big blob. So let's talk about the key elements from each of your perspectives. What's the key element for profiles? So,
well, I think the first thing is the summary of your profile. I mean, that's really the first thing that the reader is going to look at, and you want to have it concise, you want to have it stand out, and you want to have it sort of a living type thing, not just a list of things, but something that really drives you, what makes you unique, and also I use the title just what my title is for my business. A lot of people have action words and say innovate or whatever, but I prefer just using, you know, who you are, and let them sort of go right into the summary.
For you, the headline is illustrative, though. You know, you're vice president of Xerox for DHS. Hello. That says a lot in itself. So for some people, you know, vice president is the only thing that shows up, or vice president of this company. That doesn't tell me anything.
Yeah, I think you need to be very descriptive. Again, you know, the attention span of a reader, a global reader, is very short. And shrinking as we go. I see it with my kids. Basically, it's a few seconds now. And so I think you have to really target in and have a very good catchphrases and be meaningful to get them right away.
I think there's two things you're balancing here. One part of what you're doing with your profile is you're telling the search engine that underlies LinkedIn, for someone who's looking for you, what am I relevant to? So you're looking there for your keywords, and you want to have enough keywords that describe the things that are relevant to you. Then the other audience is the actual person who's reading it, who gets to your profile and look. And there I think that Chuck is exactly right. You have to think skim. You have to think 2 seconds, 5 seconds? What can they get by looking at your profile? If they can catch what you really do and what's really important, then they'll look a little deeper or they'll check it off the list. Yeah, real person, real expert. This is someone I want to talk to. But skimmable, I think, is really what I would take away as kind of the key phrase. So you're balancing having the right words in there with making it easy to skim.
Okay. So let's back up one step then. How important is knowing what you want to accomplish on LinkedIn before you write your profile?
I think it's critically important. It depends whether you're job searching or whether you're marketing for your company and what the messaging will be, who you want to message to, and what your services or your company are. So you have to really talk to other people in the company, see where their successes and failures are, see where there's weaknesses and gaps, and develop a strategy. So it is, like I say, it's a living marketing element that's the best B2B medium there is. So you really need to take advantage of it.
Yeah, you know, I think the one of the biggest challenges people have with LinkedIn is a challenge they have with everything, and that is prioritizing, making, and having enough personal guts to go for what you really want. If you really want to position yourself as an expert in one thing, don't hesitate to do it. Don't be afraid and feel like, well, I've got to put in everything I've ever done just in case someone wants to know about someone who did project management 17 years ago. You know, focus on what's really important for you and don't be afraid to really go for that. Because LinkedIn is such a broad canvas that you can, you may surprise yourself. You can actually achieve more than you want than you might imagine you can. Because LinkedIn really opens you up to the entire world. It's not just U.S. and it's not just local.
300 million people and counting, one-third of whom are in the U.S., but that leaves 200 million elsewhere. You're listening to Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio. We will be back with Lee and Chuck right after this. Welcome back to Amtower Off Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm here with Lee Fredrickson of Hinge Marketing, Chuck Brooks of Xerox, and I'm Mark Amtower because nobody else volunteered. The next logical step for LinkedIn is, who do you reach out to? Why do you reach out to them? So go back to your goals. I mean, it's a large gene pool, but a lot of people think that 500 plus number is magic. When I'm coaching people on LinkedIn, I explain to them, depending on your goals, it's not magic. Maybe there's only 250 people you really need in your network. So what do you think?
Yeah, I think it's all relative to the numbers of people in your area of interest and expertise. Certainly with myself, that so many people ask to LinkedIn, it's sometimes hard to turn them down, even if they're not in an area you're interested in, because you can see there are a lot of students that are starting out and you want to be helpful. And there's a lot of people in different countries too that just want to connect with the United States and have a business. So it's really it depends upon how you want to do it. But you'll find out it's almost a Malthusian, where you start getting a certain amount of connections and all of a sudden it starts multiplying very quickly. So you get more and more profile and you get more and more readers and exposure, the more members you're connected to.
Yeah. Are you publishing on LinkedIn yet?
I've published several things.
Okay.
And it's useful, but you find out now that it's really become its own media.
It's become its own media, but it also makes those tangential people reach out to want to connect.
Yeah. So, I think it's a brilliant thing they did. I mean, because it really involves people, it gets them very proactive.
It also adds one boatload of really good content
it
to
does.
LinkedIn, because so far mm-hmm. they've been pretty selective about who they've let do it. Now, at the end of that particular tunnel, they're saying sooner or later, everybody's going to be able to post. That's, from my perspective, giving an infinite number of monkeys an infinite number of typewriters. And, mm-hmm. and the mm-hmm. output may
There's
not be what you want.
There's a masterpiece in there somewhere. Yeah,
yeah, but digging for it may not be good.
You have to have an infinite number of editors.
Yeah. So what's your philosophy on connecting here? Because I know that for visible experts, your one of your focuses is that's key.
Yes, yes. It's really very interesting. What I try to do is I look for people where we have a mutually beneficial relationship, not a one-way relationship. And who is a one-way relationship? Well, if it looks like someone is trying to sell a service that to me, I don't connect with them. So I want to apologize to all the recruiters and so forth who I didn't respond to. So that's the element, is the relevance to what I'm doing and the possibility for a two-way relationship. After that, my criteria is who can benefit from the kind of things that I plan on sharing.
Mm-hmm.
And who is in that audience. So if you're interested in growing a professional services firm, in marketing, in a general executive within a professional services firm, that's the people I want to connect to.
Okay.
With me, it's actually been a lot of business partners, a lot of corporate partners, and also a lot of government contacts that have reached out, or I reached out to. It's really expanded my horizon of and visibility to the people I want to work with. So that's my primary people who I link to. But there are others too, as I said earlier. There's just some you just can't turn down, and it's interesting world, and some backgrounds that you may not have anything that correlates, but it's just a worthwhile person. It might be a science fiction writer, or someone that's someone that you may want to have an interest with later.
Yeah, when I read those two books in 2007. I knew all of a sudden that I needed a plan. I needed to set some goals for LinkedIn. So I kept it very simple, and the goals are still the same. I want to be among the most connected people in the government market, and I want to be one of the most visible people in the government market.
Mm-hmm.
And LinkedIn really helps me accomplish that. But if you're not in that market, you best have a really good reason, and you better respond when I ask for that reason. Because I don't want to do any tangentials.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't make sense. So so you got the connections flowing here. What about groups? How do you find good groups? What do you do with the groups?
Well, the groups are a great function on LinkedIn, because you can find your business interests and your personal interests and join up to, I think, 50 of them. And there's ways to find how many members there are, what the postings are, the frequency of postings. If you're in government, there's a whole variety of groups, including yours, which have excellent information with many posts every day on topics of the day. I also, one thing to do is create your own groups. I have actually five of my own groups, and two of them are Homeland Security, and they have over 40,000 members in it. It's really useful for what I do. I'm able to message, to circulate articles and get information that's helpful to me. I also have one that's just based on foodies, which is DC foodies, and you have.
Is that yours?
That's mine.
I've seen that. Yeah,
and I inherited that passion from my wife, who loves food and cooking and the restaurant world. So it's been fun, because there's actually a lot of federal people on it that have a passion for dining. So it's actually useful as business too.
You must exercise, because it doesn't show.
So. That's another hobby. A lot of people eat.
Well, in DC, a lot of people eat out.
Mm-hmm.
So it's even for business reasons. So
indeed,
groups.
I think for me, they're really the heart of LinkedIn. I think the ability to check someone out and profile, that's very important, but the groups are really the heart, because that's where people come together around a topic, and you can share what your content is, you can get input from people. So I think that without groups, LinkedIn wouldn't really be nearly as effective or helpful to me personally. And I think really to a lot of professional services firms, because that puts you in front of groups of your clients, in front of people who might want to partner with you, just a whole range of people, professional contacts, business contacts. So to me, that's the actionable part of LinkedIn.
Okay, I agree. I find the groups to be the place where I spend, obviously, the most time. I'm always looking for discussions where I can add some value. I'm going to throw out a concept here. We've all seen discussions that are started by people who cannot construct a sentence or somebody who's commenting on a discussion that doesn't use a verb or maybe forgets to insert a noun, and it just really doesn't make sense. What do you guys do in these instances?
Well, in my own groups, you know, first of all, I try to keep the discussion civil. There's always a few people that go ad hominem and start attacking people for their beliefs, and I keep it also non-political. You know, those are my two rules. And unfortunately, with grammar, there's so much poor grammar out there. There's not much you can do with it. But if you go in the business world and in the academic world, you see the bad grammar is prevalent too. I think we've lost track of the fundamentals in education. A lot of people growing up are just so used to doing everything where it self-corrects online, so they've lost a lot of that capability. But I think it's important, to keep the conversations friendly. And also it's important to like conversations that other people post in groups if you want to reach out to them. Interestingly, in groups, that the information security community is probably one of the most prevalent on LinkedIn. And it's surprising the caliber of people, the top executives of all the companies, and really people are really advanced knowledge of cybersecurity in these groups, and the discussions are very deep. Mm-hmm. And so I've really been surprised about, it's really been a great forum for gaining information and gaining contacts.
Yeah, some of them are just absolutely cool.
Yes, I agree. You really can get into very thoughtful kinds of and in-depth discussions. And that I think is one of the important things, is that you need to approach groups with sort of a humble attitude that you've got something to learn. And you're going to be learning from your customers or your colleagues. And if you approach it, you've got something to learn and you've got something to share. I think that's the right kind of attitude. If you approach it just with, what can I get from this? Those people stick out like sore thumbs in groups. It says a lot about who they are as individuals and how you feel about doing work with them. I mean, it's just, they're advertising. To me, it says, I'm in it for what I can get out of it. Mm-hmm. The heck with you. And so that is a good indicator to stay away from that person from my perspective.
Right. Okay. You're listening to AmTower Off Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. We will be back and wrap up our discussion on LinkedIn after these messages. Welcome back to AmTower Off Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Again, I'm here with Lee Fredrickson, Managing Partner of Hinge Marketing. You can find Lee at Hinge, H-I-N-G-E, marketing.com, all one word. I suggest you go to the website, click on the resources button, and look at some of the information they have there that is for free. A number of their books you can download for free. And I'll tell you, it's all good stuff. And also with us is Chuck Brooks, Vice President of Xerox. He is the DHS client executive and a master LinkedIn user. So let's wrap up on groups. And how do you select the best groups? We'll start with Lee.
I look for two things in it. One is the relevance of the group, and they'll tell you by either looking at the background of the group about what they're trying to talk about and so forth, so you can see that. And then the second is kind of the activity level. And what I try to avoid is the groups that are super massive once it gets over 100,000 people. And some of the open enrollment ones is just so much noise that it's hard to really find anything of relevance. Or the ones that are so small and so inactive. So I find for our areas that I'm interested in, a lot of them are a couple thousand to maybe 10, 20, or 50,000 people. And that's kind of the range where I tend to find the most productive groups for what I'm looking for, okay. And that, which is the actual engagement with people.
Yeah. Chuck?
With me, it's a similar thing. What relevance do they have to your professional interests? About 85% of the groups I belong to are professionally oriented to what I do, but I also have a 15% ratio in there for, just my own social interests, whether they be food or martial arts or something like that. So you have something that's sort of entertaining for yourself. But I agree.
Which martial art?
I used to do Shorei Kenpo and Taekwondo younger, okay. and gotcha. Kept up with it for many years. But and also powerlifting. That was my other thing. So those are things I keep. Also, I rotate my groups because you find out that 50 is not enough. particularly when you get more active. And the good thing, though, is that a lot of groups let you post and be involved without having to be closed. And there's a difference between the open and closed groups. So I participate in as many of the key groups I can that don't require you to be members, but allow you to be, you know, participate too. So that's a good thing too.
Okay. The other thing I looked at, and you kind of mentioned this earlier, is the manager of the group. Are they an active manager? Yes. Are they taking out the stuff that is, you know, blatantly not related, too political? You know, somebody's selling jewelry in a business to government group. Whatever. So that function for me is very important, and I have a list of group managers that I respect. So let's wrap up with your thoughts on what value does LinkedIn bring to you as professionals in each of your niches. And then Chuck, I want to start with you because you've been doing. I mean, this is the first time we've met face to face, and we've known each other on LinkedIn now probably for at least 3 years.
At least, yes.
So,
well, I did see you speak at the FCA conference at Homeland Security, but I couldn't. Oh, there was a crowd around you. You did a great job.
Was I good?
You were good.
and the topic was LinkedIn.
So LinkedIn, yes. Yeah, I mean, LinkedIn to me really has been a major, major resource in what I do. And I can't see how anyone could not be involved with LinkedIn after seeing the value of it. It really has allowed me to get to the people I want to reach in terms of selling services, whether it be with a company or with the government, to reach them. And I find more and more government people are on LinkedIn, and now so they also have their own social groups now on LinkedIn. So it's really been it's sort of self-perpetuating, and now in terms of being an expert and promoting that area of where I do a lot of my writing and technology and in cyber, I'm able to really target audiences and companies and associations and conferences where I really want to reach and get my messages out. So it's the fun thing about it is that unlike print media, it's repetitive. You can use it in many, many groups. You can overuse it over months, even years, mm-hmm. and keep messaging.
Well,
and
when it becomes germane to a particular discussion, you bring that article
back up. Yeah. And it's living on your profile too. So if people do go there and want to read about it, they can also do that. And I think other key thing about this is that the more you use it, the more you need to devote time to it. And I take the time every morning before I go to work to spend an hour on LinkedIn to say the happy birthdays or do what I want to do. But that's important because these are relationships, whether they're social media relationships, but they're still relationships. And that takes cultivation and it takes effort.
Yeah, and what Chuck's referring to here, unless you've turned it off, you'll get a message every day as to what's happening in your network. People changing jobs, people mentioned in the news, people's birthdays. There's three or four different items there, and you can congratulate. I don't usually look at the ones where they're mentioned in the news, and I'm not going to push it out because it's usually not germane to what I do. But on the others, I'm right there with you as soon as that message comes in.
Mm-hmm. I think for me, the big change that I had with LinkedIn is when it dawned on me that LinkedIn is just networking in another format. And when you think about it that way, you ask yourself, as a business person, how important is networking with people? You know, is that important to you or is that irrelevant? And if you think networking is important and you're not on LinkedIn, you know, what are you thinking? Come on, that's another way. You know, I have a fundamental view of when you have a target client group that you want to be, you need to be everywhere that client group is. If they're in an association, you need to be in that association. If they're on LinkedIn, you need to be on LinkedIn. And with that sort of a view, it would be a gigantic missing piece if you didn't have it, if you weren't involved in it.
Right. Totally with you on that. So we've got a couple of minutes left, and I want each of you to comment on if you were advising an executive at a mid-level company on, you know, they're on LinkedIn, but they haven't really done anything yet. What are the top two or three things that they should do immediately?
Well, first, establish the right kind of profile. And if you're representing the company, you want to make sure that the elements are consistent with what the company is trying to communicate in all branches and all areas. So that would be the first priority. The second would be to advise them on what groups they should join where their market is and how they should reach out to them. And third, probably to establish, now that you have the self-publishing or if you're publishing elsewhere, to be visible, to get out there, put your messaging in these groups, put them on your profile, comment on other posts from other people that are relevant to your industry, and make yourself known.
I think you nailed them, Chuck. So it's hard to add to those third. The one thing that I would say, though, is don't assume just because you're not getting a lot of comments or you're not getting a lot of interaction that people aren't listening, that people aren't looking, because they are. And for every person who's commented, there's many, many that will read it or see it, and it will register about who you are and what you're talking about. And you'll never know that it did until, you know, you approach them or they approach you at a cocktail party and say, I've been following you for 2 years on LinkedIn, and I know a lot about you. And that's really the important thing.
It is. And, you know, Chuck, you probably get this a lot when you go out in public and people hear your name. They go, I know who you are.
Yeah, I do. And it's in the Homeland Security community particularly, but also with the foodies. People, oh, yeah, I read your post on that.
Do you listen to the show here?
I do.
Okay. Foodie and the Beast, I believe. So
my brother was on it recently. He's a culinary director for Shake Shack.
Okay.
So he was on that show.
Shake Shack?
Shake Shack.
Out of milkshakes? I loved them.
Yes.
Too much. Gentlemen, I can't thank you enough for being here. We could literally talk about this for easily a couple of more hours. So, Lee, Chuck, thank you very much. Lee Fredrickson of Hinge Marketing, hingemarketing.com. Chuck Brooks, Vice President for DHS at Xerox, xerox.com. I think most people know who Xerox is. And more people are going to be hearing more about Hinge Marketing as well. This is not my day job. If you need help on LinkedIn, I advise both companies and individuals on LinkedIn. Drop me a line at mark@federaldirect.net. And thank you very much for listening to AmTower Off Center.
You've been listening to AmTower Off Center, sponsored by General Dynamics Information Technology. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show or any of our weekly programs anytime at federalnewsradio.com. AmTower Off Center, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.